important part of building up our foundation is this message, which says experiencing God daily. How many of us want to experience God daily? Amen. Amen. How many of us just want to be able to experience God? Yeah. No, just once. Just experience God once. Well, Jesus is going to give us some keys here for us, and there's two things I want to point out in this message, but he has laid out for us that there is a way in which we can experience God daily, and I want to exhort you to begin to implement these things, because God not only speaks to me, he wants to speak to you. And I want to hear what God's saying to you, because he's given me the ability to take that piece of the puzzle. Remember that object lesson when we're way back in the Republican Club about you have a piece of the puzzle that has to be fitted together and all this other stuff. And some of you guys couldn't fit that piece in because there was other pieces that need to be put in. You have a piece of the puzzle. I can see it, but I need you guys to seek God on behalf of Streams and the leadership as to what he's saying. Because without your input, how am I supposed to know or discern what God wants to do? So you are very, very important to God in what he's doing in these last days. Amen? All right, verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him will more be given, and he will have abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he does have will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are you, your eyes have seen, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many a prophet and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" The key in here is to experiencing God. Why? Because to you have been given the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To you it's been given to. Now you may say, "Well, I've been in church for 100 years and a day, and I still don't understand. This is all a mystery." It may be because what you're doing isn't working. But I'm going to break it down in such a way that you can have my life, because I practice this. I live this stuff, and I want you guys not only have what I have, but take it so much further. Amen? You may just say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't have time." You got time. You got 24 hours in a day, just like I do. What you need to do is restructure it in such a way that we line up with the Father, because nothing's more important than his will being done. Right? Right? Amen. That is right. And so as what we're happening here in these last days, and next week I'm going to preach about the church in transition. What is happening to the church today? There is a definite schism that's happening in religion, in power church ministries, and even in charismatic fellowships. There is a diversity that is happening, a diversion that is happening, that the enemy wants to get us off track so that we don't do the will of God. And we should be praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's already being done in heaven. It has to be done here. And if it isn't being done in our lives, we've got some repenting to do, folks. Amen? So I don't want us to get caught up in the legalism of it. I want us to just repent, get it under the blood, and start moving in the grace of God, because that's what it's all about. And within our hearts, we tend to have something going on inside of us. There's like this dryness that we want more of God. We just seem dissatisfied with our prayer time, our study time in the Word, our interaction with one another. We tend to put other things into our lives at the expense of developing these areas. And that's not necessarily bad, but if it takes precedent over what God wants done, it is bad. Because Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you," right? Well, we've been seeking, we've been knocking, we've been asking, and now God is saying, "I've given you this place, go and take it. It's yours." The key will be, can we hold it? He's given it to us, and now the responsibility in the church is, can we hold it? It's already ours. And we have to get out of this mindset that God's going to do everything for us. We have a responsibility, and part of that responsibility is to experience Him. Some of us have a mindset of an orphan. We don't identify ourselves with the body of Christ. We don't identify ourselves as a Christian. My relationship to Jesus is a private one. That's not true. It's not true. If your relationship to Jesus is private, then what you're saying essentially is, I can cut my finger off, put you over here, and you'll exist. You'll be fine, right? Eventually, that piece of my finger will go into atrophy, and it will die, and then begin what's the word I'm looking for? Where it just crumbles and
decay.
That's a good word. Yeah, it'll decay. Will the rest of my body survive? Yeah. We have to get out of this me and Jesus mindset and start incorporating a we and Jesus. You are important. The relationship that we should be developing is important to Jesus because He's the head, we're the body. He's the one that brings life to us. If we were separated from the things that's going on, and I'm not talking about Bible study and stuff, I'm talking about rightly relating one to another, supplying needs, and doing the things that needs to be done. If the world doesn't see us doing these things, and hear me, if they do not see us doing these things, they will only condemn us because we're supposed to have the love of Jesus Christ in us, through us, affecting people's lives. Yesterday, Irene and I, we went and visited Danielle, and she got home from the hospital. How many of you knew that she went into the hospital? Well, I want to encourage you that either pay a visit to her, drop her a line, send a card, you know, a little something in there, you know, whatever it is. Her parents are so touched by what you guys are doing. They are touched. And I said, you know, whatever you guys need, you know, just give us a buzz and we'll see what we can do to help meet that need. And her mom said, you guys are doing so much. I feel like that guy says, Lord, what did we do? We just love them. That's all. We're just loving. And their parents are so overwhelmed by the acceptance and love that's going on. But it first has to take on a connection that we have with God. If this relationship is non-existent, we can't expect this relationship to even exist at all. And some of us think that we can have this relationship only, and this relationship doesn't exist. It is just as important to have this relationship and our private lives, our personal lives, lining up with what God says. And I am not talking about legalism. I am talking about rightly relating. If you're using your life in such a way to reach out to other people, using your kids like we did, we used our kids in activities so we could go and share the gospel with people. That's doing the will of God. He wants us to infiltrate and get into society because you are kings and priests. You are a holy nation. You are the answer that this world needs to hear. And they need to hear Jesus Christ. They need to hear. They need to see it. They need to know if it's real or not. So I just want to encourage you in that. First, we have to settle in our hearts. The problem is not on God's side. Okay? So the problem, obviously, is with us. If we're not experiencing His presence each and every day, my question is, why not? Obviously, God wants to be in our midst. Obviously, God wants to speak to us every day. Obviously, God wants to impart His Spirit into us afresh and new. Obviously, He wants to pour out His grace and mercy on us so that we can do likewise with the people that we're touching and the people that we're moving with. He doesn't want us to be dull of hearing because to you, it's been given the mysteries. To you, you've been given the keys of the kingdom and not to the world. Amen? So when we go into these times of feeling dry and all, first thing is that we must understand we are under a dispensation of grace. Okay? What does that mean to you? What does grace mean to you? Oh, it's God's unmerited favor, Pastor. Yeah, but it is so, so much more than that. Do you know that He bestows His grace upon you without any strings attached? He loves you so much. He loves me so much that He pours it out every day on us. He heaps it on us. As the Scripture says, He heaps His grace upon us. So much so that when the blessings of God come, they overtake us. Why? Because we're aligning ourselves up with Him. We're doing what He says to do. Our lives are pleasing unto Him. Why do you think we're going through all these struggles? Why do you think my sister-in-law is being attacked, or Dan's dad has broken ribs, or Daniil has a busted ankle and stuff? It's because the enemy knows that when God plants us, we're going to be one of the churches that's going to take this town for Jesus Christ. It's His. And we need to declare that. We need to declare that to ourselves. We need to understand that if I am not standing under God's grace, then I am standing in legalism. I feel like I have to do something. God doesn't expect you to do anything, only what He tells you to do. Okay? I kind of wish I was there with Kimmy yesterday. Because I remember one time she come up to me at one day and she says, Pastor, I went to this church and he was preaching heresy. And I felt like getting up and I went, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But that's the boldness that we need. Because you see, you're getting truth. And now from this point forward, you're going to get truth with the reason, the purpose for it. We don't want you to miss it a step. We want you right in God's grace so that you can move forward in this. You can have confidence in Him. When I start prophesying, and I start prophesying this building 5 years ago, and we started the hunt 3 years ago, and now here we are, we're going through this whole thing with Nikki's help, with us with the legal aspect, and going through the financial systems that we had to go through. We had to jump through these hoops. Why? Because we had to exhaust every human possibility so that God could get the glory. And He is getting the glory. I am so excited. He brought us to the end of ourselves and He says, now watch me. And this is what He said to me. He says, watch me and see my glory. That's what He did with Moses, didn't He? He put him off the side and said, you can see as I go past, I'm going to do this for you. Whatever's going on in your life right now, He's going to tell you to do it. If you don't do it, you won't see Him move. You won't see Him move because you're too busy doing your own thing. Stop doing what you're doing, find out what He says for you to do, and then get into the grace. Get into this flow of grace. I can't emphasize it enough. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. What is redemption? What is redemption, guys? Come on, Sharon, tell me. I'm excited. Redemption. Same thing as atonement. He bought us. He paid for us. He redeemed us from the pit of hell. What did he redeem us from? Eternal judgment. He brought us back to a position that Adam gave up. He redeemed us. And we have this now in Him. And so it says, and we have the forgiveness of sins according to His riches and grace, which He has made to abound towards us in all wisdom and in prudence. All wisdom and prudence. We didn't get this smart because we thought we were smarter than God. What we did was we looked to Him. He told us what to do. We did it. We did it out of obedience. We didn't understand why we had to do these things. We didn't mumble and grumble about it. We did it. And then He said, after we did everything, He says, now watch what I do. It's kind of like, here, you try this, and now I'll show you how it's done. Really? And how many times do we do that in our personal lives? We don't go to God first. We try to do everything we want to do, and then we finally go, God, you got to do this. Exactly. And He doesn't mince words. He tells us clearly. His grace is not to be experienced just once a day or once in a blue moon. It is to be experienced 24/7. Okay? And if we're beginning to understand that the flow in this grace thing, then we have to mix it with what He mixes it with. And this is a holy ingredient. He mixes it with His love. Okay? He doesn't just give grace to us just to have grace. He gives us grace mixed with His love to empower us. He's filled us with all this. He's given it to us in such a way that He has freely given this to us. All we have to do is receive it by faith. We receive it all in Jesus Christ by faith. Is there anything in there that says you have to do anything? Yeah. You have to receive it by faith. You can't wait to see it because if you wait, you missed it. It's just like the stream. Remember I gave the teaching on the stream? You can't put your foot in the water in the same place twice. Why? Because that stream is moving. It's about time we get into the stream and don't remove our feet. And we put the other foot in and we start going deeper with God because this thing is going to get deep and it's going to happen real fast for us. And we need to understand that part of it is presenting our lives to Jesus Christ and saying, yes, Lord, whatever it is that you want, doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter what the enemy does. And I'm so proud of Jen. Yes, Lord, I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm going to the mission field. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Amen. That's my heart. I just go, whatever, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do what you want to do. And wait for him to open up the doors and move. Took 20 years for me to get out of a job that was such a schedule headache, but never once did I murmur and complain about it. I just had to learn to deal with it. And the moment I learned to deal with it and surrender to God, 20 years. I'm not real bright, okay? But it took 20 years. He moved me into a job that is 5 days a week, maybe have some work on a weekend sometimes. Why? Because it was all in His timing. I surrendered to what He wanted to do, and He has prepared me, as He's preparing you for a time as such as this. The second thing we need to remind ourselves is how great His love is for us. Do you know how great His love is towards you in Christ Jesus? He demonstrated this love by sending His Son, His only Son, to come in the form of man, to die on a cross to pay for our crimes. Would you be willing to go sit in an electric chair for a criminal? For his crimes? No, none of us would. But yet Jesus did that for us. He died to demonstrate this love for us. Why? Because his love is so great, he doesn't want anybody to perish. And that's why we should be so excited not to invite people to streams of life, but invite them into a relationship with God Almighty. And if it happens to be at streams, praise God. I really believe that, and I'm biased, I really believe that God is doing something really wonderful here. I really believe that God wants to reach into people's lives and change them. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a bunch of things that goes on. And it's by His grace. He gives it to us by His grace freely. Why? So we can love Him back freely. That's really the reason. You know, we were created for His praise and glory. And part of that, in that praising, is to freely praise Him for what He has done for us. He has done great things for us. If we really look at it, and we really want to begin to understand that it's not on God's part, it's on our part, we would do everything we can to unstop what we've done to build up not to receive this grace and this mercy that God loves so much. And we see it in Romans where he says, who can measure the love of God? Nobody can. We can't measure how wide it is. We can't measure how deep it is. We can't measure how long it is. And nothing, hear me, church, nothing can separate us from his love. He loves us, but he gives us the choice whether we want this relationship or not. His choice is he wants to relate with us. He died on the cross to show us how much he wants to relate to us. And our response should be one in that, what can we do, Lord? What can we do for you? Because you've done it all for us. And he has. He's the one that provides for us to earn an income. He's the one who provides for housing. He's the one who provides our health. He's the one who provides for our children. He's the one who gives to us grace and mercy. He's the one that provides for everything other than our needs so that we can go and bless others. I mean, he's the one that gives us a heart that's beating flesh, not a heart of stone. He's the one. And so we have to understand that it's by grace and by his love that we enter into this thing. But there's also one more ingredient that we need to go. Turn to 2 Corinthians 13. And I've got to go quickly. And I'm trying. I'm trying. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. There's three ingredients that we need. We need to understand the grace of Jesus Christ that we have in Him and through Him. We have to understand the love of God. And we must be in communion. Or that word is koinonia. Do we know what koinonia is? It's fellowship. It's a common union. Absolutely. If we are not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, we have a problem. If we're trying to receive grace and move in the love of God, but we have no fellowship with God, guess what? Those who do have a vibrant spiritual life with the Holy Spirit can tell who does not. Really? I can tell who's with God and who's not. That may make you feel a little uneasy. And I don't mean to make you feel uneasy, because I want you to have the same relationship as I do. As a matter of fact, I want you to have a deeper relationship than I do, so that I can rest on your shirt tails. I could skim on that grease a little bit, a little great greasy grace, you know. But he tells us, you need to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and have fellowship. It's real important. We tend to forget about the Holy Spirit. We tend to forget that He not only dwells with us, He dwells in us. Okay? Jesus said in John 14, 16 and verse 26, He says, I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I have said to you. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, the divine Trinity that we have to understand. He is probably the first most important person next to our spouse that we should be relating to. Not our kids. Not somebody outside of our fellowship. It's Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, God. That's the answer. And everything that you ask for, that's the answer. But it's impossible for us to truly know who God is without fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You know, in those times when I start getting dry, immediately I go back and I start appreciating the Holy Spirit. I thank Him for being in my life. I thank Him. I ask Him to forgive me for ignoring Him. I thank Him for my relationship that He brings me to God. I thank Him for the things that He teaches me. I thank Him and appreciate Him. But there's also another ingredient that's missing out of this. What I do with the Holy Spirit, I must also do with you. I must constantly tell you how much I appreciate you, how much I enjoy you, how much I enjoy the kids, how much I love you, how much... That's called body ministry. And when I say it to you, I truly mean it. I do love you guys, and I want to see the best out of you guys. You know, you're not orphans any longer. God has brought you into His family. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are sons and daughters that have such a powerful spirit within you that you were born to rule and reign in this world. And I know you guys are having a real tough time even grasping that, but that's the truth. That's what your Father says about you. And if you're not believing that, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit, and He will reaffirm this. But if you have no time for Him in prayer, if you have no time when you're studying the Word of God, because you're allowing the enemy to come in and push all that stuff out of your busy life. And I understand, your life is busy. But it's busy why? Because you're allowing the enemy to creep this stuff out of your life, and you're not prioritizing the importance of being in relationship, studying the Word, being in Bible study, doing the things that God has said for you to do, but you don't want to do it. And when you're being challenged to change and you get all angry and bent out of shape, it just proves how immature you are. And God wants to come for a mature bride. And I know, because I sit there and I stomp my feet and I act like a 2-year-old at times because God is telling me to do something and change. I'm in there with you guys. I'm not outside the boat. I'm in there. And I want to throw the oars down. I don't even want to start rowing. I'm so bent out of shape sometimes when God speaks to me. Like He did this on Wednesday. I was like spitting wooden nickels. Because I was convicted. But in His gentleness and all, He showed me that what I have taught you guys was good. But now I have to bring it into purpose and clarity. No longer it's about your opinions, it's about His opinion. If you're not lining up with God, you need to show me why you're not lining up with God. And it's got to be in the Scripture. And I do that all the time with the leaders. Show me. Tell me why you're at this position. Show me. Let me read. Let me see. If I'm missing it, hey, I got a teachable spirit. You see, what we've turned God's grace into is an opportunity for us to do our own thing. And isn't that what it said in the Old Testament? They did what was right in their own eyes. Let me tell you. Let me give you a little secret about the church. The church of God is a bunch of called out people. We've been called out of the darkness into His marvelous light. He hasn't abolished the law. The law has been from the beginning. Jesus fulfilled one aspect of the law. Okay? But He hasn't done away with the law. There are things contained in the law that is a borderline for us to live by. Am I correct? It gives us the boundaries. Okay? We can do whatever's within in those boundaries. When we step out of those boundaries, there are repercussions of our disobedience. When we talk about that, the seriousness of what God's doing is that whatever your opinions and options are, they better line up with God. Because where we're going, I'm not interested in the options anymore. I'm not interested in opinions. I'm interested in what God's saying. Because it's about His will being done, not our will being done. It's about moving in His presence 24/7. It's about being where He wants us to be. And throwing down those options, because those options are from the pit of hell. They feed our flesh, and we do exactly what the flesh wants to do. And Jesus said that in Romans that no flesh shall see the kingdom of God. So why we do it? Why are we acting and behaving like we have grace, Pastor, so we can do whatever we want? That's not what this is about. The grace that God has for us is to empower us to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. And one day He's going to return. And one day He's going to take a look at streams. And one day He's going to look at your life and my life. And He's going to examine it. And I pray that we're faithful. My sincerity in this, I pray that we're faithful to have been obedient to what He has told us to do. No matter what. Because it's about rewards, church. I'm interested that you receive your full reward that God wants you to have. And it is all predicated on your maturing in Jesus Christ and doing what He tells you to do. It's no longer about us. I told you this many times, and now the reality should hit home. It's going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are to be a Christian. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, that Your Word contains the wisdom and the prudence that we need. But Father, there is an urgency in our hearts now. There is an urgency, God, to reach the lost before You come back. Your desire is none would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us of our slothfulness. Forgive us of thinking that we have options. God, we have run out of options. Our time is Your time, God. Our life is Your life. Cleanse us, O God, by the blood of the Lamb. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Challenge us to change and to do the things that You called for us to do, God. As Kimmy would say, be bold. I exhort Your people to be bold in You, God. That we not be tripped up and the enemy throw stones in our way to trip us up, God. But that we would just repent in our hearts, God. And by faith be cleansed by the blood. And then move in alignment with You. Father, we know You've called the streams to a great work because You told us that You only do things that when there's great difficulties, then there will be great miracles happening. And Father, we see that. We've experienced that. And You're beginning with the signs and wonders, God. Help us to see what You're doing in the land. Help us to be bold about what You're doing, God. Help us to share the good news with Your grace and Your mercy attached to it. But Father, be glorified in Your church. Be glorified through streams and the effort that Your people put together, God. Be glorified in everything that we do, and we do it all in excellence to be a representative of You, God. Father, may Your will be done on this earth, in this town, in our very lives, as it is in heaven. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.